All right, I'll call a meeting to order. I'd like to welcome you to the May 17th, 2024 meeting of the Arizona Barbering and Cosmetology Board and invite you to join me in the pledge of allegiance.
Pledge of allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, for awareness, the board may vote to go into executive session to discuss personnel matters pursuant to ARS 38431-03 or to obtain legal advice pursuant to ARS 38431-03. And number A, discussion consideration possible action approval of regular board minutes from the April board meeting.
Chairman, Mr. Roll Call, Board F.
Well, ahead.
Number two.
There he is, number two, right, you're right. Let's do that, that'll be tight.
Okay, for board members present, we have Terry Bailey.
Here.
Marshall Knopf.
Present.
Nick Goodman.
Nick.
We'll get him.
Virtually here, Goodman.
Thank you.
Jay Thurndine.
Here.
Tracy Wilkinson, here. And then as of right now, for absent board members, we have Brandon McFadden, Tristan Guzman Glover, and then Brandy Flores. We have a note, she'll be joining at 10 a.m., so we'll update the record when she joins. For board staff members, we have Frank Jigali.
Present.
Kelly Shepherd.
Present.
Rosa Rodriguez.
Present.
Carlos Geraza.
Present.
Heather Santa Maria. Excuse me, Isabella Legowski, present. Kathy Bergeron.
Present.
Helen Bordelance, present. Lisa Chavez, here. Alexandra Hill, present. Keegan McCon.
Here.
And then for legal counsel, we have Assistant Attorney General Gina Gal.
All right, I better have anybody here. Did seem a little funny, so that's right, but then there's a couple. Got out of the saddle too long, forgot how it worked. All right, so now we're up to the idea of discussion consideration possible action on approval of the regular board minutes from April meeting. We only have to actually go to have to abstain because I wasn't here.
So your abstention counts for the vote, though.
All right, so you can do that. The rest of you were, if you want to review those and have an opinion.
Nick was not here, but we, with his abstention, it would still count.
Nick was here last night.
Oh, he was. We can bump it to next month if you'd.
All right, it's only next month, so life will be complicated. All right, easy to do. Speaking of that complication, any board members have a conflict interest in a case today? Hearing no response, we assume no one does. And C, welcoming to this barber and cosmetology students and instructors. A little thin on students out there, but I see a lot of instructors. So if you wouldn't mind telling me where you're from, so we'll know who is here supporting us today, we appreciate it. Do you want to start here in the front?
My name is Heidi Begley, and I'm clinical director of Image Institute in Scottsdale.
Lovely location. And you guys?
We are from the Phoenix.
Oh, very nice.
Yes, I have a student.
Ah, we have a student, an excellent student. The student came today, very nice.
The cosmetology department lead.
Yeah, how could you guys lead the way bringing students here? That's a nice deal. Thank you. Do you want to introduce yourself to the student? Hey, way to go. Way to go. And you please?
Lisa French, I'm the director over in cosmetology.
Wonderful. And you ladies in the back?
I'm Amy Blackman, I'm the program manager of the beauty wellness program at the KBA Community College.
I'm the assistant program manager, Gina.
Nice.
Terry Major, senior instructor for.
Great, well, we really appreciate you guys' support. Then you're taking care of it and being part of us, we like that. We need your support. We we're here to serve this industry, and we know that you guys are this industry. So thank you. All right, now let's move to the most exciting part of every agenda, the executive director report.
Exciting for who, Mr. Fair?
Oh, actually, I could help with stuff, but there you go. Exciting for her. Oh, and I missed you.
I'm David Arla, owner of Arla Barberstein College.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. I didn't recognize you. Well, thanks for coming. For reminding me of that. Yeah, we appreciate that. Wow, hard to go over that day. This is kind of cool. We should use something interesting.
Yeah, no pressure, right. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Delighted to be here this morning. I do have a number of good news items, which actually all kind of fall throughout my presentation at the whole today. So I have some good news on the eyelash technician registration program that launched May 4th. I have some good news regarding staffing. I have some good news regarding Arizona Administrative Code update, as well as it was State Employee Appreciation Day, which is where I will start. State Employee Appreciation Day was last Wednesday, May 8th, and we had it actually also happened to be our quarterly town hall, quarterly staff meeting. The leadership team barbecued for the staff here outside on the loading dock, and we had hamburgers and hot dogs and just had some time to enjoy each other's company after the meeting. And I think it's really cool. A small but mighty team of 17 has a combined total of 86 years of state service. So it was good to celebrate, of course. And of course, we celebrated last year's successes as part of this. We celebrated years of service for everybody. And again, just had that opportunity to have some down team time for an hour just to enjoy each other. On our staffing update, I'm super, super excited. I feel like I've been saying for months that we've been struggling with our customer service representatives and keeping that staff and keeping people here. I'm very excited to share with the board this morning, the board and the public, that we have hired two full-time customer service representatives to be on staff. They're no longer contractors, one of which is Sharon Pucci. She actually joined us and has been a contractor for about 8 weeks now. She will be starting full time as an FTE, as an employee of the board on Monday, as well as Vanessa Cueva, who will also be joining us on Monday. We're very excited about Vanessa because she will be our Spanish. She'll be the person who's taking our Spanish call. And we actually had a funny chat this morning at Spanish. I think most of us on staff understand some amount of Spanish, but having to respond in industry terms regarding Spanish has been very difficult for us. So actually having somebody that's going to be bilingual on that team is huge. Additionally, as I think anybody in the industry knows, May and June are just about the two busiest months for this board and the board staff because of a significant number of renewals between schools, barbershops, establishment. There's a lot that happens in May and June. We've got a lot of questions coming in the door. We are seeking an additional customer service representative by way of contract for a short period of time, 4, 6, 8 weeks to get us over the hump. And then hopefully at that point, we'll know something a little more about our appropriation request within the larger state budget. In the hopes that we can hire four full-time customer service rep so that we can really start to bring, although the wait times aren't bad and they're significantly better than they were 2 years ago, they're still not where we would like them to be. Unfortunately, where we do not have good news is we lost at the 30-day mark, we lost our licensing and customer care administrator with no notice and no reason given. And so we are back to the drawing board on that. And same as it has been for the last couple of months, awaiting understanding of where the state budget is going, holding on the business and finance or office manager role, as we are now calling it. That said, we're not drowning there right now because Heather and I have been filling that void. So it is something that we have assessed and it does need to be filled because we can't continue long-term to be doing that work. From a financial update standpoint, in April, we started the final quarter of the state fiscal year. So we received our fourth quarter appropriation of $635,118. We had almost $368,000 in revenue in the month of April, and our expenses were $155,000. As a reminder, our cosmetology fund balance began the fiscal year at $15,370,000, and we ended the month of April at $16,723,000. We've expected this. It is a heavier renewal year across both Barber and Cosmo. And additionally, although there's not a ton of revenue, actually there's no revenue reflected yet in April, we do have all the new eyelash stuff that is beginning in the month of May. So we're going to see increased revenue as a result of that as well. But to be very clear, just because we have increased revenue doesn't give us increased authority to spend, because trust me, we would have done that already. Hiring more positions. Through April, which is 83% of the fiscal year, we are 78% expended to our appropriation. Moving on to our testing update. We had, for the month of April, we had 473 candidates test by way of written practical with an 84% passing rate. There's the breakdown of all of those, a breakdown of each of the testing categories. For you, we have 776 candidates that have scheduled a test from dates May 1st through December 30th. 405 of those are written practical, 6 Cosmo, 1 Nail Tech, 1 Aesthetics, and 1 Barber in Spanish. And we have 371 theory tests. That's actually in total, that's a 50% increase over the prior month. Makes sense. We've got graduations May and June. And so we continue to work through that, which also then means our new exam licensure numbers are increasing, et cetera, et cetera. So back to my moment ago about May and June being our busiest months of the year, it's reflected in testing data, it's reflected in exams data. I do have an announcement, two announcements for you this month. I have started an initial conversation with PCS regarding setting up a testing code for the individuals coming through the apprenticeship programs so that we can begin tracking the result of individuals going through the apprenticeship process and ultimately getting to their exams. There were some questions raised last month. And actually, I've been on two national calls since last month's meeting regarding that in particular, and I learned that PCS can do that. So I've started that initial conversation. I'm not sure of a launch date on that yet, but we have started the conversation so that we can begin to better track that. So then we know, to your point, Marshall, is that what's skewing the barber numbers?
Because I know before they used to, before they merged the boards, they used to, send over a list of people. So that's what I was like.
Yeah, so we get a list of mentors.
Mm-hmm.
We do get a list of approved mentors and we get certificates of completion for those students. But the way the PCS system, we could spend probably 40 hours trying to slice the data to get to just those handful of individuals. So it's going to be easier for us to build the code on the front end so that we can start tracking it overall. But there does seem to be more of a national trend towards trying to better understand the outcomes of that program through all licensure fronts. And so I think if we can be on the forefront here, I would love to be able to do that. So,
quick question for you. Where's the under the barber styling written practical? Is that just the practical or is that theory and practical?
That's just written practical.
Okay. That's just the one half of the test. Okay. Do we have the numbers for the other half or not?
So the board, it's funny because I asked this question probably about 19, 20 months ago, if the board was interested in seeing theory results too. And at that point, I think there was only a desire to understand the written practical because it was new.
Right.
So I'm happy, you know, if the board would like to see more data, we have access to that data. We can certainly share that.
No, I was just wondering as a whole just being out there. With the practical and theory portion, I just wonder what the theory numbers are looking like too. because we have a lot of students from other schools that called me up with the pictures that they're giving you guys for the practicals. They are, me myself, I'm just gonna go take the test, so I can clear for myself, so I can just look at it. But they're saying that the pictures aren't as descriptive, and they could be a little better. Like when they're going through certain motions, because it's not a physical motion, you're looking at it too, like when they're going through massages, you're looking at a person's hands, and it's, is it this or is it this? And it's like, they look so similar. And I'm getting that from a lot of schools. So there's something to possibly, that's what I was wondering. Very much sit down, like they'll come with the program, which is the
Prometric.
Is it Prometrics?
Just to
Kind of, you know, or you think you can just bring it up to them and say, hey, you know.
So, to be clear, I agree, and I hear what you were saying, but PCF and Prometric don't write the test. So NIT contracts with a testing development company to develop those tests. So I think we can, I can see what we can kind of start to round, but what the, I mean, Rio, start over. Let me figure out the best path towards getting us that information.
Yeah, like I said, me myself, I've gotten it. If one person said it, but when multiple students are saying, even the ones who passed the test come back and go, I passed them. Those pictures suck. And I was like, but other schools are coming to me now saying, you have a problem? And I was like, I'm hearing it. So maybe some week over there. On the practical side.
Yeah, let's look at the theory side and see if we're getting
the thing, this kind of result.
Well, I will tell you theory wise, and this was a big conversation at NIT last year, first time theory passage across the country is bad too. So, but yes, but I can start to guide us a little bit more, figure out the conversation and go from there.
So with the theory, I know what they did was they just added a lot of more Cosmo in on the barber side. So for in the beginning, I was like, it's gonna take a while, but I'm like, by now they should be attempting to watch it and see. Okay.
And then the second update I wanted to provide regarding testing is that the instructor and hairstyling written practical have been developed. So those are the last of our current batch of tests that we've been waiting to get into this written practical format. Will be turned over to Prometric from NIC. They will be turned over to Prometric on the 20th. So is that Monday? And once Prometric has it, they will give me a timeline for deployment. I'm pushing them for July 1, and I got a lot of hesitation from them on a July 1 launch. So I'm not sure yet. And I think their hesitation is it, I haven't seen the materials yet to know what it's going to take to get it into the CBT format. Mm-hmm. So that it can be done across the country and all of the Prometric sites. So I think that's their hesitation, but I should have a much better idea of the actual go live.
Maybe theory and practical both.
So yeah, then theory and practical. Because right now, for instructors and hairstylists, they do their theory computer based. They're still doing their written practical hands on. And that's where we see delays, particularly in May and June, in getting those individuals licensed, is because you can only do hands on practice. There's only so many test proctors, there's only so many. But I do think PCS of the three, now I'm in my third year of this period of time. I think they're actually in the best position they've been of those 3 years with proctors scheduled, with test dates scheduled, so that we hopefully don't get to July with a significant backlog like we did last year. That's our testing update for this month, our licensing update. We continue to be green, and I just want to stop. I feel like I am, every month I say how proud I am of the licensing team, but I will tell you for the month, because we have been so inundated with phone calls and we've had such a roller coaster of customer service reps within the organization, licensing staff have been pulled a lot to answer phone calls and all the way through the month of April. So the fact that not only were they pulled, they took great pride in ensuring that we still issued licenses timely. One of the big things that I want to share with the board and publicly this morning, though there's not a lot of folks in the room, is when we put 4 weeks on our webpage, 4 or 5 weeks, depending on the licensure time. That is if the application is a complete application. So that timeline for processing doesn't begin until we have a completed application in hand. We have a lot of people not catching the word completed application, and people don't, applicants aren't submitting all of the necessary information. So they're, you know, quote unquote, as I probably would too, are trying to hold board staff to this 4 week turnaround, but they don't, they're not submitting completed applications either. So we've had a few Google reviews come in over the last month where people are saying it's been more than 4 weeks or it's been more than 5 weeks. And the good news is we're in such a good place with our data and our tracking. We can actually say, well, we emailed you on this date. You responded on this date. That's when the timeline started. All of that to say, we still on average are well within the 14-day target. And so we're pretty, I'm incredibly pleased, and I'm very, very proud of the licensing team. One of the adjustments we did make is because I've had this issue with the customer service reps, like I said a moment ago, we're excited we finally got two coming on full time on Monday. Kelly and I actually starting May 1st of this month, we actually started creating a schedule for both the customer care team as well as the licensing team, so they know who's going to be on the phones and when. Whereas before we were just pulling them as we saw numbers getting bad, and so now we've just created this schedule. Folks are doing half day chunks, and hopefully in the next 2-ish weeks that won't be an issue at all anymore, because we've got the two people that we need here. All of the data continues to support that on an ongoing standpoint, we need 3 people answering the phones at all times. That data hasn't changed, so that's what we're shooting for, and we're trying to do the 4th for this really busy time. It's ultimately what we're getting at. ILAS extension. So this was another piece of our good news, is the regulations for the ILAS extension registration took effect on Saturday, May 4th. Okay, which I failed to place on this slide, but I have it on the regulation slide in a minute. What was great about that, under Kelly's leadership and drive, the board approved training application. So the person or the program that's going to teach the 30-hour program, that application actually successfully went live on Monday, April 28th. So basically a week before the regulations took effect. We took 12 applications that week. I approved all of those applications first thing Saturday morning. The way the system was designed, it took me, I don't know, 40 minutes on Saturday morning to get those 12 programs licensed. As of yesterday morning, so 24 hours ago, we have 29 programs approved up to this date. And I actually just looked before the meeting started, we have 6 more applications waiting, which I'll look at this afternoon when we're done with the board meeting. So the individual ILAS establishment application, that one went live on Monday, May 8th, so a week ago, or I guess technically 2 business weeks ago at this point. We actually have not received any applications here yet. And that's because I just don't think we're quite there yet with people getting to that point. Also, if they already hold a cosmetology or aesthetics establishment license, they don't have to have an ILAS establishment application, because they meet the requirement of establishment licensure through the aesthetic and cosmetology establishment licensure type.
Okay.
And the standard aesthetics license does cover the eyelash. This is just a separate.
That is the question of the year.
Absolutely.
So the way the legislation was written, and Kelly, please, if I kick me under the table if I say this wrong, because it is very complicated. The legislature actually has acknowledged that this was not written well at this point, so I want to be fair to them on this. But the way they wrote it was that if you were a licensed cosmetologist or esthetician prior to the effective date of the bill,
right?
Okay, the effective date of the bill was October 30th. So if you are a licensed cosmetologist or esthetician before October 30th of 2023, you are grandfathered in. The legislature is making the assumption that the program, the cosmetology or esthetician program you attended prior to that date included practical and theory experience of eyelash extensions.
Well, that's a big assumption.
Huge assumption. And quite frankly, I would argue probably a number of the schools in this room would say, yeah, that's not a good assumption. Mostly because I think I've talked to all of the schools about this very issue. So that's piece one. Okay. After October 30th, if you became a licensed cosmetologist or esthetician after October 30th, you do in fact have to go to the 30-hour program.
Board-approved training.
Board-approved training program. So as of yesterday, one of the 29 programs that were approved. Because what the legislature then did, as a result of that language I mentioned a moment ago, they have excluded eyelash extensions from the scope of work for cosmetologists and estheticians. Marshall, I did the exact same thing. Like, could we have made this any more complicated? So Gary, that's when I know we were talking about this the other day,
yeah,
by way of electronic means. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's why we could talk about it on Friday, because it's so complicated that there's two paths. So again, just to reiterate, we have to determine whether it was before October 30th or after October 30th. Right. I'm not hanging my hat on this. I'm not getting my hopes up, and I'm actually even hesitating to even say it right now, but for transparency's sake, the bill that we have across the street, House Bill 2168, which I'll talk about in just a minute, does include a fix for this. But we can't implement a fix that hasn't even been gotten out of its legislative process. So I'll talk about that piece in just a minute when I get to the legislative update. Is that, I know it's super muddy. Did that answer your question, member?
I know more now than I knew.
Yeah. All of this information's been on the website.
Yeah.
We're doing social media posts. We're answering these questions through our customer service reps and our customer care team. I'm answering it with schools. I had a lengthy conversation with actually two of the schools in the room this week about this very topic. It's muddy. We're trying to make it. So legislative language is difficult for educated people to understand. It's trying to make it in a manner that it's clear as possible for everybody to understand is not been easy.
We might want to review the schools that have been approved, their websites, and see if what they're posting matches with what you just said. Because I suspect that it doesn't. The story going around is that if you have a cosmetologist takes license, you don't have to be trained at all.
Prior to October 30th.
No, it's
right. The problem is too, right? Like, we, to be very candid, I hope this legislative fix passes, because it's going to clarify so much. It's going to, frankly, it's going to reduce capacity issues that we have regarding this and staff wise. So we're hopeful, but we had to move. Right. Like, it's been 13 and a half months since the governor signed this bill at this point. The regulations have taken effect. We had to go. Go ahead, Director Shepherd.
Deputy Director Shepherd, public service announcement. This is where I really encourage state associations or schools to lobby your legislators to help write legislation, because we get stuck with whatever legislation passes that we have to implement. We cannot influence legislation. This is really the power of the community. This is where the power of the community is to advocate for themselves with legislation to get what you need passed. Public service announcement, yeah, over.
Thank you, Deputy Director Shepherd. I'll just add to that. We are legally, as state employees, we are prohibited from influencing statute. That's where we need everybody else with help. eyelash technician application. So that's the individual who is asked, who needs to attend a program. That application should go live today. We are very hopeful it will go live. I'll be transparent. Technically, it's live. It's out there within the GL system, but there was a technical glitch where it was actually, Marshall, this will make you laugh. It was actually issuing a barber license number instead of the new series that we had created. There was also, we need a, the, when the person was applying, it didn't require social security number or address, both of which, well, social security is required by state law, address we need to know where these people are. So we're trying to get those two items fixed. There's been open tasks since when? Late Tuesday, so really Wednesday. So theoretically, those should be fixed today. Once that does go live in the system, we do have social media posts and an update on our webpage that Isabella will click post as soon as we get those finalized within the IT system.
Is that also a grandfathered thing where it runs for a while and they approve they've been trained and then later they have to get trained, or is it to start out, you've got to get trained?
You got to get trained.
Oh, there's no.
So the grandfathering is the prior to October 30th. Those are the grandfathered individuals, and they don't have to apply for anything with us.
Deputy Director Shepherd, so when they apply, if they're a licensed esthetician or cosmetologist, and they put their license number in before that date, it's checking. It's essentially, we're just going to automatically approve. If they're not.
Assume they were trained.
Mm-hmm. Right. If it was not, well, that was legislation.
Yeah, I get
it. If it was not, then they have to put in their what's called a provisional registration certificate. I don't like the name, but it's basically their training certificate.
Okay.
And then we'll approve all that. We do have applicants in the system right now. Again, we're waiting on a few things to be fixed before we will approve them. As soon as we get those items fixed, which again should be today, they will be approved and they will receive their.
What if they're not licensed? Can they file now?
Yes, as long as they have their 30 hours from a board approved training program.
Okay, so if you're not licensed, you have to go to a class.
Correct.
Okay, no matter what.
Correct.
Okay.
Both as a licensed cosmetologist or esthetician,
sure.
Or if you just want to be an eyelash technician, you have to have the 30 hours of a board approved training. All of the board approved training.
After October 30th.
After October 30 are on our website. So they know which ones are board approved training.
Okay, that makes sense. So just so I get it, because I'm slow. So if I was not licensed, but I was doing eyelashes in 2012, and I want to continue, I have to go to a school and take a 30-hour class.
So
nope.
It actually allowed, the legislation actually allowed it. That's why that October 30th date. Anyone doing eyelashes before October 30th of 2023, if they had any training, even if there was maybe an 8-hour course, could apply and be approved. Anybody after October 30th, 2023, who's only doing eyelashes, has to do the 30-hour board approved training.
Very confusing. Help us across the street get this legislative thing done. Okay, so I'm gonna.
It's all on our website.
Yep, and I'm gonna move us along because we could spend the entirety of this board meeting discussing the eyelash technician registration stuff. But just to reiterate, the eyelash technician individual application should go live today. Watch for the social media, watch for the website to update, and that'll get moving at this point. From our customer care update, we continue to see a significant high call volume. We answered 2,703 calls in the month of April with an average wait time of 10 minutes and 16 seconds and a handle time of 7 minutes and 45 seconds for a combined total of 18 minutes. Again, we set this audacious goal of 10 minutes. I want our the licensees, the customers to be able to call here and only have to spend 10 minutes doing that. That would be, frankly, that would be an industry best practice of any call center. And so we want to continue to take steps towards that. My team is very good about reminding me where we were 2 years ago to where we are today. Remember that average wait time 2 years ago was 40 minutes. today at 10 minutes or month of April at 10 minutes. Okay. So although it's red, an 18 minutes total on average still is significantly better than it was 2 years ago. And we're taking the steps toward getting staff in, hiring a, you know, getting an additional contractor for this heavier time and figuring those things out. Our email inbox, I think people have figured out they can get a pretty quick response there as well. That AV board inbox received 1,147 email in the month of April. And because we continue to have such a high number there, we're at a less than 36 business hour turnaround. So if you email us today, the latest you would get a response is Monday, end of business, typically speaking. Again, the other reason I just want to reiterate is we took in March, we took that renewed emphasis on a single call. So Marshall, if you have to call, we only want you to have to call one time. We don't want to send you away and tell you, yeah, go to your licensing portal and figure it out. We're actually having our customer service reps walk individuals through while they're sitting at their computer to make sure they get to all the places they need to. So we're really working on that single call resolution is what that's called. So that is also part of the reason for that increased wait time. We also have learned this month in complete transparency that we still have quite a number of barbers calling old barber numbers from even before, long before I ever even started here. Phone lines that were disconnected before I started here. And so our website was updated 2 years ago with correct phone numbers. Google has the correct phone number. So I think it's just people that saved phone numbers in their cell phones and everything else. So if you hear that, we're trying to confirm that people are calling the correct phone number. Our compliance update for the month of April, we received 60 consumer complaints. 30% of those were within our jurisdiction and assigned to an investigator. We conducted 426 routine inspections with an 86% compliance rate. And on top of that, we had 14 investigations conducted. We were in the towns outside of Maricopa and Pima counties. We were in Maricopa, Kingman, Gold Valley, Quartzsite, Tonopah, and Stanfield in the month of April. Continuing to make progress towards getting out of Maricopa and Pima counties so that we're there to support licensees. From the rulemaking update, done. Every item is checked. The regulations, the rules took effect Saturday, May 4th. So this is the last month we will have this slide for now, but we already have a bunch of stuff for 2.0 lined up, so it's probably fall-ish, depending on our legislative stuff. We'll probably be bringing to the board another set. It'll be much less. It'll be more clarifying. It'll be, but we do have already identified a number of items that we'll need to continue to make progress on. But that's that. I will say the document has not been updated on our website yet because the Secretary of State's office hasn't published the document, but the rules have taken effect. So we're still waiting. I found out from them late last week that hopefully those will post tomorrow. We'll see.
Now, quick question with that. Now that they have been signed, everything good. One of the questions is coming around a lot now. Is for cosmetologists who are only doing hair styling. As far as the businesses, do the businesses feel like to get two licenses, or is one, because they're both doing the same thing, are they able to operate under one? Like the lady that was on at the last meeting.
Yeah, so excellent question. This is the legislative change that we're waiting. So that change requires legislative change, and that is in the bill that's currently across the street.
It is not passed yet.
Okay, so but it is out there.
Correct.
No, it's not. So it's a legislative change. It's not a rule change.
Okay.
That required to get to those single license for barber, cosmo, hairstyling, et cetera, that required a legislative change.
Gotcha.
That is a part of the draft legislative language that is actually on my next slide. So House Bill.
To answer your question right now, two establishment licenses are required, even if it's for cosmetology and hairstyling.
Yep.
I don't know why somebody would apply for a hair styling establishment if they're already a cosmetology establishment, because it already covers it.
Well, so in the barbering side, you have people that have cosmetologists, but they're not doing all the extra. They're only doing, they want to just cut hair. Because there's some of them, when they signed up, are like, they got, I have people that didn't, they went to Empire and they're like, oh, well, I'm just cutting hair. I'm not doing chemical. I'm not doing anything.
If they're licensed as a cosmetologist working in a barber shop, that barber shop would need to have a cosmetology establishment license, because that's their licensees who are working there.
Yep. Got you.
And
but this is going to change that.
If it passes, yes, it would only be one establishment license, no matter what type.
And then the regulations will dictate what needed within the establishment, dependent upon the types of services being offered.
Okay, because when people call and ask me, I was like, well, by May, we should know. I've been telling people May.
Well, we were hoping for May too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that way if people call from in, it's like, I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, Marshall, feel free to direct them to staff. We'll be happy to.
Sometimes it's just regular shops, and they'll just be like, hey, quick question. I'm like,
yeah.
Yep. So to that tune, House Bill 2168, that was this board approved legislative cleanup, consolidation of barbering and cosmetology statute, making some of these changes, like one, why do we need to have 7 establishment licenses, right? Just get it down to 1 establishment, 1 fee, blah, blah, blah. That's in there. Additionally, there is that eyelash extension fix was amended into the bill to try to get that fixed, but we could use some help. As Kelly said, getting that across the finish line, it also does include an appropriation, allowing us access to spend more of that board fund for IT work, for compliance work, for customer care. We do have a number of items in that for, but again, first thing is spending what we have, and then they'll give it, hopefully will give us access. I do want to publicly acknowledge Representative Dunn, who I understand has historically been adversarial to these boards individually, and he has been very impressed by the work of this board, this staff of the last 2 years, and he is doing his very best to usher this across the finish line. It has passed out of the House. It has passed out of Senate committee, but it still has not gone to the floor in the Senate. And there's a number of political items around that state budget. There's a lot to that conversation, which we don't need to get into in this meeting. So that's where it is at right now. It's awaiting going to the Senate floor. Keeping our fingers crossed, because of the amendments that have been made in the Senate, this eyelash extension, it will also have to go back to the House. But as long as there's nothing, House Bill 2651 actually has basically died at this point. It was never heard in committee. I am leaving it on here because I'm told that nothing is dead until the session is over. And so I continue to track this every week. Again, it never even went to committee in the House, so it shouldn't go anywhere, but you never know what they're going to do to get a budget across the finish line. So I'm leaving that one for us to continue to spend. And finally, here are our next 6 meetings. Our next meeting is June 21st, 2024, 9 a.m. I don't recall which room we're in off the top of my head. Obviously, we'll be here in the building, though. And June is our board elections meeting, where we elect our chair, vice chair, and secretary treasurer. So I wanted to bring that to everybody's attention, just to recap that in your thoughts over the coming weeks, to make some decisions around what direction the board would like to go. And with that, Mr. Chair, I will turn it back to you, which I actually think it's going to come right back to me anyway. So you can decide how you'd like to handle that.
Well, why don't we just move to 5? Because it looks like something going on there we don't have data on. which we talked about. The three licensing.
Yep. Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the board, at your request in the month of March, there was a request that we have an agenda item to discuss salon suite licensing. And I think the I think it's fair to say, I don't want to put words in the board's mouth, that there's the board has seen that there's a lot of confusion around salon suite licensure amongst the licensees themselves and whether those licenses are required. And so the request was made for the board to have a discussion. I think it's similar to the MMA discussion that was had about 18 months ago. And is the board going to, you know, I think the question, and Marshall, I think you brought it up, so I don't want to put words in your mouth, was basically, are at what point are we going to take a stand on salon suite licensure and no longer dismiss those cases? And so I know, again, I recall you bringing that up, and that's what I remember you saying. So I again, if that wasn't the case, I do apologize. So I just wanted to real quickly run through, there is statutory requirements, and I just want to clarify, it is statutory requirements for establishment licensure. So on this slide, you'll see that you cannot operate, for barbers specifically, you cannot operate a shop or a salon which does not have current license issued pursuant to this chapter. The next slide is for Cosmo. Persons shall not perform or attempt to perform cosmetology, aesthetics, nail technology, hairstyling, or personal services related to now eyelash extensions without a license or registration in the category issued pursuant to this chapter. And then the next sentence says, display a sign or in any way advertise or hold oneself out as a cosmetologist, esthetician, nail tech, hairstylist, eyelash technician, or as being engaged in the practice or business of cosmetology, aesthetics, nail technology, hairstyling, or eyelash extensions without being licensed pursuant to this chapter. Administrative code. I don't know why this is administrative code. Oh yeah, there is administrative code. For barber, a license holder or supervising barber shall ensure that every individual, whether an employee or independent contractor who practices barbering in the shop, has the current license. Each required license in the most recent recent board inspector's records are displayed. On the Cosmo side, we have a rule, administrative code, that says a school licensee shall display the license of the school licensee and all instructors near the school entrance visible to the public. A salon licensee shall prominently post the license of the salon licensee and ensure that the personal license of each licensee performing services in the salon is posted at the licensee's workstation. So I think it's fair to say there is very clear statutory and regulatory requirements around establishment licensure. What board staff has done, we have done salon suite social media posts. We did one January, we did one yesterday. There has been an FAQ on the website and that since November of 2022 that says, if I am renting a salon suite, do I need a salon license? The answer is yes. If you are in a salon suite, you must have an establishment license. If you move suites within a building, you must submit a suite change application and notify the board within 10 business days. We also have there a link to salon suite requirements to make sure that they have everything that is needed to meet the requirement. I actually already said that that FAQ has been on the website since November of 2022. So with that, I just wanted to run through those items real quick. Again, the request was made of staff to do this, you know, and that the board have an agenda item to discuss the potential of what those next steps are. Again, I think it's similar to the situation we had with MMA. We've done the communications, we've done these things. At what point, kind of, I guess I'll fix, what point is the board going to draw a line? I think was the question that was really asked in that meeting. And that is, I want to be clear, that's not a question for staff to answer. That is a question for the board to answer.
I just kind of wanted to make you put it on the agenda just so we could speak about it. Because we were having that issue with the salon suites, like the MMA, just trying to get the standards for what we wanted to do. And board members, as far as saying, hey, we put out the communication, they know moving forward, you know, if they're working without it, they're in violation.
Right. Well, it makes sense. I mean, you all along with people who always said, well, I didn't know. Somebody told me a story and I believe their story and all that kind of stuff. But well posted, well documented.
Make sure we get our focus virtually too.
Nick and Chase, how do you guys feel about that?
So the difference I see between this and the MMA situation is the MMA issue is truly an issue of public health. Using MMA has like documented verifiable problems that endanger pregnant women and all that good stuff. Failing to have an establishment license when you just have a regular license and or something like that, that's a technicality. That's okay. We need to, and sure, people should follow that, but I don't think we need to have a hard and fast, oh, you didn't do this technical rule. There's no room for grace. And so I'm of the opinion that we should continue doing the evaluating on a case-by-case basis because sometimes grace is warranted, especially in situations like this where no specific public health features are triggered. I mean, if there's other compounding factors, I mean, that's why we evaluate these on a case-by-case basis. So that's my thought on it. I'm open here to the rest.
What so when we're hearing like Chase is just being like, I don't know, or I didn't know, or no one told me, or you know, I asked, you know, my sweet neighbor and they said I didn't need it. Like I guess I would wonder what kind of excuse would be acceptable.
It's gonna vary. I mean, I think if we were to say right now on a public meeting, here are the excuses that would be acceptable. That would be problematic because then we'd have people who might hear that and go, okay, I'm going to do this. It's a case by case basis. So I would listen to it and evaluate both the actual claims that are made, the sincerity, you know, or the apparent sincerity, any evidence that the board investigators have, things like that. And based on the totality of the circumstances, make a judgment there. That's where I think we're needed, because if it's just a matter of, you know, all right, you failed this, then X fee, we aren't needed to evaluate that. It's just, did the violation happen or not? And then we can just move on. I think we are here as a board so that we can make those sorts of evaluations. And that's how I view that issue.
What is the current fine?
What's the current fine for?
For non-life?
It's $250. $250. So all we're trying to do, it was Chase on the line. All we were trying to do, Chase, is just trying to get kind of a standard, because it is, or I mean, we're sending the inspectors out there. And sure. So I just don't want the inspectors to get the impression that they go in and inspect and then they come and it's like, oh, we didn't do anything. I'm not saying that we have to, because we don't have to hit them with the mat. I just want to make sure that we kind of have a standard, because sometimes it was just starting to look like some people we say, oh yeah, it's okay. And then other people, if you told a good enough story or had the right excuse, we went, it's just a letter of concern. But then other individuals, it was more like, oh, you should have had it. We should have known. Well, I just want to make sure we have a standard that we stick to.
And if we